Welcome to Inspirational Living with Shonda Jenkins. Are you ready to rediscover you? On this show, I share stories from my own personal experiences, knowledge from spiritual teachers, mindfulness leaders, and philosophers, guiding people to inner healing, self-discovery, and self-love. If you're tired of feeling stuck in cycles from your subconscious programming, or you feel like your life lacks a sense of purpose, tune in today while I share with you another tip on how you can live a more fulfilling, joyful, and purposeful life. Before we get into this episode, I want to share with you guys that I wrote a book. It's called Finding My Happy Place, inspiring you to live a happy life. Finding My Happy Place is meant to inspire you to go on your own journey and free yourself from society beliefs of who you are and who you should be and how you should live your life. I used to struggle with people pleasing, insecurities, and feelings of unworthiness until one day I decided it was enough. This book is meant to inspire you to get your power back so that you can be the best version of yourself and find happiness in the process. Because each day you wake, when you fill your mind with inspiration, more incredible things will happen for your life. This book is more than inspiration and motivation. It's a self-development book meant to propel you to create the changes you want to see in your life. So are you ready for changing your life? Do you need a daily dose of motivation? And are you ready to be inspired? This book is here to help you live a happier and fulfilled life. The book is available on Amazon. I have paperback for only $10. The hardcover is only $15. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's $0. Or $5 for the ebook. So if you're ready to live a more happier and fulfilled life, check out my book, Finding My Happy Place, inspiring you to live a happy life. All right, you guys, let's get into today's episode.
Welcome back to Inspirational Living. I'm your host, Shonda Jenkins, and this month's theme is about helping you connect with your divine feminine. So whether it's awakening the divine feminine, honoring your feminine energy, living in harmony with nature, or recognizing the duality of feminine and masculine energy. Today, I have with me Tiffany Bunch. She is a voice actor and the co-host on a podcast called the Find My Voice podcast. Today, she's going to be talking about why it's important to honor our feminine energy. So welcome to the show, Tiffany Bunch.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it so much. Yay. Yeah. I'm so excited to talk about why it is important to honor our feminine energy, especially in the world that we live in today. It's so masculine centered, so masculine energy forward, especially in capitalistic America. We're all go, 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 hustle, hustle, culture. If you're not doing, you're dying, you know, all that craziness. So silly. And then the feminine energy is just the basically the opposite of that. And I've spent a lot of years, probably think 5 or 6 years now, finding that balance between the two of being in overdriven in my masculine energy and now coming back to the feminine. Try not to pendulum swinging too much because there's a middle ground between the two. And one of the things that I've realized too is that the masculine energy of people and masculine feminine energies are not, I'm just going to say it, they're not gendered, they're not based on sex, they're just energies, and then the way that we view certain archetypes basically that fit in. So regardless of how you identify or what kind of body you have or who you are, the masculine feminine energies reside in all of us. And I found for me that the masculine energy is the brain. It's my thought process. It's dissociative in a lot of ways. It's my ego. Like it's my brain poweredness. And the feminine is of the body. It's in the body. It's It's it has its own system of thinking. You know, there's a lot in the news right now about like you have a second brain in your gut. You know, your body is its own, right? Its own entity, its own modality, its own way of being. And we blend the two. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize like how much our brain and our body talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this idea of like, I'm thinking about that embarrassing thing I did 10 years ago. Mm. That feels very in my brain, right? But because I'm thinking about it, my body is having a physiological response to that thought. And suddenly I'm feeling very anxious. Mm-hmm. And it works both ways. Sometimes my heart rate's elevated for no reason. Now my brain realizes that my heart rate is elevated and it goes, why is our heart rate running? Why is it elevated? Am I supposed to be panicking right now? And then we have a thought that makes us panic, right? So they talk together like that. And generally they're going off of your autonomic nervous system, the nervous system that we don't even consider. So that's the thing that's really operating between the two. And if it's a little out of whack, or you know, you have some trauma energy that's kind of always playing in the background, or you grew up with elevated levels of adrenaline or who knows what, anything that's a little dysregulated, then these two systems, these masculine, feminine, are out of whack and they're not really talking to each other. And then, you know, also based on how we've collectively as a society at some point decided to operate with 40-hour work weeks and eating trans fats and chips and putting sugar in everything, like all of these things contribute, right, to this, to these energies and to them being out of whack. And then you start to get sick a lot, right? Why am I always so sick? Well, it's because you're constantly over and overdriving your masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And that's something that happened to me, is I was just so out of whack in my systems that I was at some point forced to look at the way I was living my life and the way that, and what, how things were happening and what was going on. In 2019, I got diagnosed with PTSD from all the ongoings, because I was just in such overdrive all of the time. And I actually was so disconnected from my feminine energy that I couldn't rest. I couldn't rest. I couldn't receive. I couldn't do any of this stuff. I was really just at the mercy of my masculine energy. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, cause I had all this, you know, historical trauma from my childhood that just kept, you know, like pushing me into different relationships. I was constantly seeking, I was constantly doing, I was constantly running, I was constantly traveling, and all of those things too. Like, I had amazing moments and all of that stuff. I got very far with my masculine in overdrive, but at some point I couldn't live like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, I couldn't, and I didn't really understand what was happening. So something about the feminine energy, and when I say honor my feminine energy, what honoring is to me is focusing. Mm-hmm. That's putting my focus on my feminine energy. So whatever I'm honoring is what my focus is. And feminine energy, when I think of that, right, when we think of that, when hopefully audience members think of that, one of the biggest components of feminine energy is cycles. It has cycles, right? Women go through the cycle of their menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. Even men go through hormonal cycles, non-binary, like we all have these cycles, regardless of if you're a person with a uterus or not. You know, we go through these cycles. We talk about the ebb and flow all the time in holistic circles. That is a cycle. You know, being awake and sleeping is a cycle. The sun, the moon, like nature operates through cycles. So when we're honoring the feminine energy, when we're taking our focus away from the masculine, putting it on our feminine, we're looking at what cycle am I in, and is that cycle serving me? Yeah. Mine was not serving me. So part of that was, I actually, before I was diagnosed with PTSD, I was trying to figure out like, why am I so miserable? I had like a panic attack for like 2 weeks. Like, it was crazy. I didn't get it. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew I was going to figure it out. Another thing that the masculine's very good at is figuring things out. Mm. And I ended up in the right hands, which is, I think, a story for another time, or maybe, I don't know, I ended up with a holistic, I don't know, I could talk about this stuff forever. I ended up with a holistic psychiatrist and a holistic therapist because I knew for me, I didn't want to meet anybody that was just going to give me medication because I knew on some deep level, I'm not anti-medication. Like if you need it, take it. I knew for me on some level that what I was experiencing was part of my history and part of my trauma. And what I didn't want was someone to give me medication to calm down the symptoms, but not actually help me do any of the deep work. That's where I was at. So when I found this holistic psychiatrist, she was amazing. She meds were like the last part of the conversation, which is what I wanted. I wanted it to be an option, but not the first option.
Yeah.
And actually what ended up is she helped me regulate my cycles. So I wasn't sleeping. I didn't eat consistently. I didn't have like meal times. I had no consistency in my life. And so one of the first things that we did was we regulated my meals. We regulated my sleep and just honoring like, and that's feminine, right? Like receiving is feminine, receiving sleep, receiving nourishment, choosing what you want to nourish yourself with, like having that autonomy, all of that is very feminine energy. So making the conscious decision to begin to regulate, consciously take in what my body needed, listening less to my mind and more to my body was the beginnings of me really understanding what it means to honor my feminine energy and to live my life in the cycles that are important to me, that are natural to me.
Wow. That is amazing that you found that holistic therapist, because I think a lot of people don't go to therapists because at least I didn't go. I went to a therapist before and they gave me medication and it was for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And on the bottle, one of the side effects was death. And so I just felt like I was just going to be suffering from anxiety for the rest of my life because it wasn't really treating what was causing the anxiety. So I'm so glad that you found somebody that really helped you. And so I'm like, here you go, medication.
Right.
Again, there's nothing wrong with medication, but if there's a deeper root cause, then let's get to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, I've been through a lot of bad therapists before I found my amazing therapist. So I'm glad that I didn't quit on finding the people that are good for me, that were needed for me at the time. Like I had one therapist who because my cycles were so out of whack, I pretty much was living a bipolar-esque life because my cycles were very like manic depressive. So I would go through a cycle of deep depression for about 3 months. And within that depression, I couldn't do a whole lot, but I could daydream about what I wanted to do and then beat myself up for not being able to do it right. And then as soon as I had that upswing, I was able to just do everything that I had dreamed up in that depressive episode. So I was living a very manic depressive-esque lifestyle. And I would see things on the internet, like memes or people making jokes or whatever about like bipolar disorder and PTSD and all of these things. And I related to it enough to question, am I this? Mm-hmm. But I had no real understanding of what it is. And like one of my therapists at the time, I like brought that to him and he just pulled out a book and read a definition to me and was like, do you think this is you? And I'm like, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you about. He never referred me out either, which, you know, hindsight 2020, like as irritating as it was going through it at the time, I'm very glad he didn't refer me out because then I wouldn't have met the people that I actually needed.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? Like everything, you know, hindsight 2020, everything happens at its own time, sort of a deal, but yeah, very frustrating. So, and what my therapist told me at the time about medication, and I love this way because I was a little bit anti-meds. She said, Tiff, we just need to make sure that you're going to stay in the ship. Like your life is the ship and you've hit some really rough waters. And the number one job right now is to make sure that you stay in the ship. And sometimes that means medication. It doesn't always mean it, but sometimes it means it. And that was a good enough explanation for me to really allow myself to be open to the idea that the goal right right now is for me to stay alive. And that might require medication, but that doesn't mean that's where we're stopping.
Yes.
And that was enough for me. But yeah, I love both of the practitioners I've found, both Chris and Margie, they're their names. But yeah, that was just such a, I'm so glad that I had them in my life at that time to help me navigate, because that really is what started my deep dive journey into regulating into my feminine energy. I mean, we hear it all the time, and it's really deep in the holistic culture that we have right now. We're seeing it everywhere, and we're seeing it very superficially. We're seeing it as, you know, hashtag self-care. And, you know, my self-care is like putting on a face mask and taking a bubble bath and like turning my phone off, which like, that's great, but that's not necessarily honoring your feminine energy. That's you making choices in an attempt to connect with that feminine energy. So, right, it's not wrong to do any of that, but there's so much deeper work to do potentially, depending on who you are, for your feminine energy. Like, I ask my clients two questions. So I also teach self-mastery. One of the two biggest questions are, if I could wave a magic wand and give you everything that you would want right now, what would you want? And knowing what you want is masculine energy. Knowing what you want is of the masculine, right? People don't know what they want. So that's number one, right? Know what you want.
Yeah.
And then the other question, like the next question after that, is if I gave it to you right now, would you take it? Would you accept it? Would you receive it? That's that other yin yang part. That's the other half. That's the feminine energy, is would you receive it? So even if people do know what they want, they usually would say no. And a great example of this, I think, is like, if I walked up to you and I have handed you a blank check, what would you even be able to write out the dollar amount?
Wow. Yes.
Me too. Yes, me too. But a lot of people can't. Like, think about the last time someone gave you a compliment. Could you receive that? Probably not. It probably made you feel really uncomfortable. It probably was really hard. You probably just said, oh no, I'm not really like that. Or maybe you just did some self-deprecating humor. Who knows? But that's another part of receiving. That's part of that feminine energy that we live with every day, that people don't realize is that that's the feminine energy component that you can begin to implement in your life every day to have a daily lifestyle change, a lifestyle practice of, you know, honoring your feminine energy.
Wow. Yeah, being willing to receive is the feminine side. And then the working side, the go-getter is the masculine side.
Right, exactly.
And I love how you wrote that down.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to just talk about one half of the equation. And I think because we live in such a masculine energy driven society and world today, it's easier to highlight how you are and then to see what, like, the shadowy area that has like those missing pieces of the feminine energy, because we are, in a way, like, we force ourselves to live a very certain way. We may have heard of this circadian rhythm. That's like our natural sleep cycle. Like, that's part of the feminine energy. And we like totally screw that up for ourselves all the time. You know what I mean? Like, we set alarms. I remember I was working, and during the pandemic, I got a job in retail. And I remember waking up, I was setting an alarm to get up for work. And I remember one day, I guess I was in like a deeper sleep cycle because my alarm went off and it scared me awake. And I was so angry that I was scared awake by this alarm. I remember thinking, I'm never, ever, ever going to experience that again. And I was like, I'm quitting alarms. And I walked into work and I was ranting about that to one of my friends. And she told me about this app called Sleep Cycle. I think that's what it is. Yeah. That has like a gentle alarm.
Yeah.
So now I try not to use alarms still, but if I use it, that's when I use. So it's like more of a gentle rise. And like, I think that's very like a good example too of masculine versus feminine, of like that masculine just like jolting you awake and all the ramifications of that versus the feminine, very gentle, like, we're going to get up today. It's so good.
I use like a spa tone to wake me up. So it sounds like water and rain. And yeah. So it's very soothing to wake me up. when I
necessary. You know, and like, I think that's honoring the feminine.
Yes, that's honoring my feminine. Because I have experienced getting like shaking, waking up from an alarm, and I'm like, oh no, I found like a music tone and just saved it. So yeah, I know that we live in like this go-go, like that. I was a workaholic, and I always still have to like juggle with myself, like, Shonda, we're not workaholic no more, because you've been conditioned to work hard and you got to do this. If you don't do this, then you're not going to be successful. And it really has you fighting with yourself. Like, should I be working hard? But I feel like I need to rest. But if you rest, then this. So it's that constant tug between, should I honor my feminine energy or should I honor this masculine energy? And then what happens is we go with the masculine energy all the time.
Right. Because even if no one externally has taught you guilt and shame,
yeah,
you experience guilt and shame when your masculine's in overdrive.
Yes.
Because I did the same thing. So now I freelance. So I, you know, got regular work during the pandemic. And then in 2022, so yeah, last June, I transitioned fully into freelance. So now I have full control and autonomy over my structure, over how I choose to live with my, you know, my natural cycles. And if I was resting, I couldn't rest, because mm-hmm. I felt like if I was resting, then I wasn't making money. Mm. If I was resting, I wasn't making movement towards where I wanted to go. I was feeling guilt and shame, which fed into that bigger cycle of paralysis. So even though I wanted to rest, then when I rested, I had all this guilt and shame over resting. Mm. And then I would, you know, get into my inner critic would show up. And then even though I was feeling guilt and shame over not working, then I couldn't work because I was, you know, in my judgment. And then that made it 10 times worse. So it became like, even though externally I made this transition into a better, for me, better balance of masculine and feminine in my external life, I had not done any of the work to be able to fully actualize that internally. Mm. And how we live internally is also a reflection of our external. So it took me probably 6+ months. I'm still doing some cleanup on that, of being able to actually have faith that I can be in my feminine energy and fully live in that, and that the world around me won't fall down.
Wow.
That I don't have to work like everybody else in order to live the life I want and to live a guilt-free life that way as well.
Mm. Wow. I think that is definitely hard for a lot of people. That is something that I still struggle with. Yeah. I'm still like, all right, Shonda, you don't have to do this. All right. Because it's just like the conditioning aspect of how you've been conditioned for so long. And then depending on how long you've been conditioned, that can also affect like how long it takes you to realize like, hey, this is not the way to live. So that can be definitely challenging for someone. Because if that's all they know, then what do I do if that's all they know?
Right. And not every circumstance is the same.
Yeah.
So I was able to have the freedom to make the choices I made last summer. And not everybody can. Some people are living paycheck to paycheck, are needing, you know, job to job in order to be able to sustain that. So for people like that, or for people like you and me who have a little bit more freedom right now, it always starts small and it starts subtle. People want, you know, when we go to the gym, we're always working our big muscles, but we have smaller muscles that are just as important, if not more important than our big biceps. It's the same thing in a holistic journey, in a mental health journey, in a spiritual journey. It starts small and subtle.
Yeah.
And as you build up those smaller muscles, then you have a better balance when you start doing the bigger training.
Yes.
Same thing with me and my therapy. When I went to my therapist, when I got my new one, and you know, the one that told me the ship metaphor, we didn't immediately start working on anything that I wanted to work on. because I wasn't ready to handle it. I thought I was because it was showing up, but I was not ready to go do a deep dive and do big work. I had to learn skills to manage the way that I was reacting. And it's the same thing here. If you are someone who feels exhausted all the time, you know that you're in your overdrive masculine, you want to connect with your feminine more, it feels weird to do that, you feel that guilt and shame, it starts small, like with you and me changing our alarm clock in the morning.
Yeah,
that did so much for me. Such a small change, didn't take me a lot, didn't cost me any money, just that small change to just help that rest. And it's also just, like I said earlier, it's getting really clear on what you want to experience. So if you know what you want to experience, then the things you need to do in order to get that experience start showing up for you. And then you can start saying yes to them. And when you're in that rest mode, if you're able to be in that feminine energy and you have these thoughts coming up, this judgment, this guilt, this shame, two really important things for me here. The first one is start practicing being the observer of the things that you're experiencing. And then going along with that, one of my favorite things that I still use if I really need it is remembering that you are, like, let's say you're feeling guilt.
Yeah.
You are not guilt. You are experiencing guilt.
Wow. I think that is, I think, I don't know if you know Eckhart Tolle, but he talks about like, when you are feeling something, you can say like the body is feeling this, but you are not that. So there's a sensation in the body or whatever you're experiencing. Yep.
Absolutely. That is exactly the line of thinking of beginning to make that, create just a little bit of space between you and your sensations, your thoughts, your feelings, because you are not your thoughts and feelings or your sensations. You are experiencing those things. And that's what it means to be human, is that we are experiencing the things that are happening. And what ends up, we tend to go into reaction to the things that we are experiencing, thinking, feeling. And from reaction, we make choices. And those choices can either go positively, negatively, whatever. But the minute that you begin to just start observing those things rather than reacting to them, or even observing your reaction to them, is when you start creating that little bit of space. And at the very beginning of this episode, right, we talked about how the masculine is of the mind and the feminine is of the body. So here we are again, right, with your Eckhart Tolle quote, by just putting a little bit of distance between you and your sensations of your body, and you begin to observe the body, you're then honoring your feminine energy. You're beginning to somatically understand the differences between when you are being in reaction to the energy that's coming from masculine or feminine. You're beginning to actually honor the sensations. That is honoring your femininity. That's honoring the feminine energy of the body. And once you begin to create that little bit of space, I tell my clients that when we're creating space between our sensations, between our thoughts, between our experiences, between our reactions, any sort of space, it creates a vacuum. And what happens with vacuums is things want to fill it. Things want to fill that space. So then we can transition into a conscious life, because when we're living consciously, we're choosing what fills that space.
Yes. Wow. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Because now you're no longer being the victim. You're actually being the creator. You're being in control of your life. And I think that's important. When you get to that conscious level, now you're able to not be the reactor. You actually be the proactor.
Exactly. Then you're more proactive. And even when we do go into reaction, like, I will always go into reaction on things because I am human. That is part of the human experience. But I no longer beat myself up for having the human reactions that I have. And I want to point out something that you said, which is very, very important. You started talking about creating, right? When we start to, you know, fill that space consciously, intentionally, we start creating. Feminine energy is creating. So you're automatically shifting into honoring that feminine energy of yours, right? The feminine is what brings life. It creates the incubator for life, like literally. Now, this is, I want to point this out too, because I'm hoping people can relate to this. So I identify as, you know, I'm a woman. I also non-binary, just depends on the day, I suppose. Yeah. But right, I'm a uterus. I'm a person with a uterus, which means that I have the ability to create life. I do not want that. I don't want to create life. So that is actually put like a bit of a chasm between me and wanting to identify with my feminine energy, because there's so much about the feminine energy that I just don't relate to in my own body. However, when I think about feminine energy, like I've never identified as wanting to be a mother. I still can experience mothering. I just never viewed it that way. So when I'm with my clients or with my friends' kids or, you know, anything like that, when I'm taking walks in nature, when I'm honoring other life, like that is me experiencing mothering in a way that I never considered mothering, right? So I just wanted to point this out, because people who may not like the idea of feminine energy because they just don't identify with that, which I think also goes into colonialism and all sorts of historical things of detaching from the feminine and the woman. But anyway, when we start to think about that, like when you really sit and honor the feminine energy, we have to honor that the feminine energy is the incubator for creation.
Yes.
Same for the womb and the uterus, right? That is the incubator for life, for creation. So as someone who doesn't want to manifest it physically in my own body, I'm still doing the same practice, just in a more like metaphysical way. Same, like that's how men can, you know what I mean? So people identify as man, as male, regardless of genitalia, like they're doing the same practice. They can still tap into the feminine energy. Non-binary people can still tap into, trans people can still tap into this feminine energy, because we are all capable of creating the incubation for creation. And that's what we're doing. So feminine energy is creating that, right? That incubator. We're building all the supporting structures in order to bring that creation to fruition. And the masculine energy, when it's not in overdrive, when we're experiencing on a more healthier side, that's the actionable steps it takes in order to bring that creation that we've built this incubator for to life, right? Because birds, they nest.
Yeah.
They will nest regardless of if they're going to lay an egg or not.
Yeah.
Constantly build nests. But in order to have, you know, the chick that goes in the nest, they still have to take actionable steps to get there.
Yes.
And it's the same with us. We can build the best nest we can, but if we're not taking those masculine energy steps in order to bring something to fruition within that incubator, we're still not going to get any creation. So that's where the balance is out as well.
Wow. I love that. I love that you basically shared that it's not really identified as just a female. It's just the energy of the feminine energy. And I think that is what people need to hear.
Because me too.
No matter what you identify as, your feminine energy can be out of balance.
Absolutely. And I think we are living in a world where it just outright is out of balance.
Yes.
I think the pandemic shifted us closer. Mm-hmm. It made it more acceptable to want to be a part of the feminine energy, I think.
Yes.
And we're seeing like kind of the masculine uproar of that, of nobody wants to work anymore. I think it's a part of that masculine wanting to ring the alarm bell that people are going back into their feminine energy. And it's just really funny to me. But yeah, I just remember being so, especially I see this with some of my trans friends, and I've experienced this too, because I just don't really fit the mold of a feminine person.
Yeah.
And because there's almost this like want and need to reject the feminine to prove that I'm nothing like that, because I am this over here. Which may, especially if you feel like you're fighting with other people externally, or you're fighting with external sources in order to feel secure in your identity, whatever your identity is, we tend to want to reject anything that would come close to that. I remember being a kid and I never wanted to wear anything pink because it felt too girly for me.
Yeah.
And I would reject it. And then I think I was in high school and someone told me I looked really good in pink and it made me so mad. I didn't want to look good in pink because I didn't want to be too feminine.
Yeah.
So I just kind of accepted that, like begrudgingly accepted that. And then I, you know, realized, right, that I was gendering something, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then it became neutral because those things do not make female. Those things don't make feminine. I mean, we've seen transitions throughout history of what masculine and feminine is. Like boys used to wear dresses and they used, like, blue was the color for girls when they were born, right? So we've seen these things flip because they don't really mean anything.
No.
Right, exactly. And so when I realized I had been doing that, I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, none of these things mean anything about me. You know, choosing to accept the feminine doesn't mean that I have to birth a child. It doesn't mean that I have to be a mother. It doesn't mean anything. Yes. And so when I stopped focusing on the meaning of things and how other people may perceive me, because that really is none of my business how people perceive me.
Yes.
When I started to like really get into that is when I opened myself up to even being able to begin to welcome the feminine energy, which I really needed. Like, I was exhausted. I was tired. I was hemorrhaging energy all over the place for tons of things. Like, I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, like I wasn't doing so many things. And it wasn't until I started to really like sit down and honor my feminine, or even be able starting to consider to honor my feminine, is when it all sort of came together. And now I'm actually living life in the way that works best for me. I'm still building that, I'm still learning that, but I'm also fully committed and confident in it now, when I, you know, I wasn't a year to 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm glad that you have been able to do that and that you are embracing that feminine energy and you're not really identifying with, and, you know, I want to say identifying, not really judging what that looks like. Like, that is feminine, that is female, but it really doesn't have a meaning.
Right.
Yeah,
right. It doesn't mean at all. And when it also made me look at, like, what do I automatically think of? Like, what is my conditioning when I think of feminine?
Mm.
Because it would be like makeup and wearing dresses and, you know, doing, you know, X, Y, and Z, or, you know, there are things that I also love that I don't do, or I hadn't been doing as much because I considered it feminine. Like, I really like baking.
It's
a very feminine thing. I really enjoy baking. And I wouldn't do that as much because I didn't want to feel like I was a homemaker.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to reject being a homemaker. And I actually would love to have chickens and have a little homestead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just trying to reject like anything that I felt was like too feminine because I wanted to be more, not even like more masculine. I just didn't want to feel like I had to fit into the stereotype that we still live with of what it means to be female or what it means to be a woman.
Yes.
Or, you know, I wanted to be taken seriously, but I, you know, I bought into the societal belief that women aren't taken seriously. And that just isn't, like, it's true and it's not true. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's the thing. So it was a deep dive on like, okay, how am I actually defining feminine? And do I want to continue defining feminine that way? Does it serve me to continue looking at what it means to be feminine in this way?
Yes.
And that's also a talk about values. Like, what are our values? Because I also had the same unhealthy relationship to my masculine because I wasn't harmonizing the two dualities. I was rejecting one in order to bolster the other. And that was not good.
Yeah.
So looking at both and bringing both into balance and seeing them and accepting them for what they really, really are, like to welcome in my feminine energy is not to say that I am choosing a housewife life.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. You know, it's saying that I want to be more in alignment with my natural cycle, with Mother Earth, with with the sun and the moon, with all of these things. And I want to, you know, it's me saying I want to put love out into the world as opposed to more of like the masculine dominance.
Yes.
And to find the balance between those two things, because we are all both.
Yes.
that's just a fact. Like, I am also authoritative.
Yeah.
But I can have authority that's based in love.
Yes.
And compassion and kindness, which is feminine.
Yeah.
So it's having, and like, you look around, you see people living the extremes of one over the other.
Yes.
All the time. And like, they suck. They do. We don't like those people.
No, I cannot. That was something I was dealing with too, like, because I don't wear makeup. I wasn't wearing dresses and heels. And it was like, you know, not wanting to be a girly. And I'm like, okay, I can embrace myself and not really judge how I look for my, you know, for myself. Like, I define that, because when I was doing that, I was rejecting myself. I was rejecting everything about this, and I wasn't honoring my feminine energy because I was overworking. I was wanting to be like the guys. And I was dominated. I was working in an environment where I was the only woman. So I had to give myself this mindset of like, I gotta be tough and I gotta be like this because I'm all these guys, I'm not gonna let them take advantage of me. But you don't want no one to take advantage of you, of course, but you don't have to put out that energy of I gotta be this masculine, have this masculine energy all the time.
Right. And like, sadly, they don't have to have that energy all the time either.
No.
You know, and this also goes into, again, going back to like knowing what you want and knowing what you want to experience, and also like really accepting what's showing up for you that you know is true for you.
Yeah.
And then saying yes to that, because, you know, there is someone out there who had that job that you have who is wearing makeup in that job.
Yeah.
That's someone out there, and that's true for them. You know, it's all about being true and authentic to who you are, and just seeing, you know, observing as non-judgmentally as you can yourself, and where you're, I think of it as kind of like a soundboard with all these different levels.
Yes.
And some of your leveling is up all the way, and some of them are down all the way, and some of them are in the middle. But taking the time to look at that soundboard and see if you're mixing your life right. You know, see if you need to turn the volume down, you know, on those judgmental thoughts. Seeing if you need to ramp up the volume on that, on your confidence. Just seeing like where your levels are, because once you know where your levels are, you can either, you have the freedom of choice. That's what I love about being human, is that we have this freedom of choice. We can always choose again. And there's no right or wrong. Like, there really, really isn't. Like, you choosing, if you look at your soundboard and you say, actually, I'm very happy with where it's at.
Yeah.
That's great. That's where you want it to be at. Like, that's it. Even if your judgment is all the way up and you say, I like having my judgment at a higher level because it helps me produce better art. Mm-hmm. It helps me work better in my environment. Great. Who am I to say that that doesn't work for you? Mm-hmm. I will never say that, because you are the authority of your own life.
Yeah.
But not no one, because you and I have, but most people don't take the time or even realize that they have the ability to look at their life and say, I want something to change, and actually go through with it. So you have the choice, and that's what's most important. And even if you look at everything and you're like, actually, everything is great, I don't want to change anything, and tomorrow you wake up and you want to change your mind, we have the power to choose again.
Yes.
So at any point, and we're always creating and adjusting, like the things that I create, I might think are true for me at the time. And then I create them and I'm like, actually, I had no idea it was going to be like this. And I thought it was going to look differently. And I want to adjust this. So we're constantly creating and adjusting. It's never a one and done thing. It's always malleable.
Yeah. We're always shaping and shifting in our life, and being okay with that. I feel like it's okay to be okay with your life changing and shifting or making different choices. And not really judging yourself if you made a different choice tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and not judging your outcome, because like something that was big for me, and I still have to manually do this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing that no one deserves anything more or less than anybody else, and no choice that I make or that someone else makes me any better or worse or more deserving or underdeserving, which is a hard lesson for me because there are people like Jeff Bezos who I don't appreciate.
Yeah.
The way he shows up or the choices that he's made. Yeah. As far as I know, I don't know every ins and out of that, right? I've never met him. But as far as I can see on the surface, right?
Yeah.
Without attempting to make too many, you know, assumptions.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm a better person than him. You know, right? Who knows? Who knows? We don't really know this guy, right?
No.
But let's just say, for sake of argument, I'm make better choices. If I had his wealth, I would make better choices. I would make a bigger impact or whatever. That doesn't make me any more deserving or him any less deserving than what he has. And it's the same argument that people make about like fast food employees who want a higher wage.
Yeah.
Like, just because they're doing that doesn't make them better or worse, you know what I you know what I'm saying? So it's like really evening out that, because I've had a lot of times where I have felt like, because I do the work I do, because I'm living a conscious life, I deserve this, I deserve that, you know, whatever. And the universe and the world, or you know, God, whoever you believe is out there, what if you even believe anything, doesn't discriminate.
Yes.
It doesn't discriminate. And so I try also to not discriminate either. So when I see people that are making their own choices and living their best life, or even not living their best life, you know, who knows, just like, I'm not any better or worse than them. And to not discriminate in that way either, not discriminate against myself, not discriminate against other people, and to come back into that. I mean, I think it's very masculine to want to, you know, wag your finger and say, I deserve better than this. But going back into that feminine, and I think there's a lot of faith in the feminine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't always like the word surrender, but there is just something about creating that structure for you, the incubator for yourself, to be able to allow these energies to flow naturally, to allow your life to unfold.
Mm.
One of the, I like to, whenever I'm experiencing, I like to just allow myself to receive just some wisdom from it. And I was at this moon circle, I guess that's the best way to put it. And one of the things we did was we built this, I think it was a labyrinth with these flower petals.
Yeah.
And so it was like six of us all contributing to building this thing. And I remember sitting there just being open to receiving from the moment, and what came out was, there's beauty in the unfolding.
Mm.
And anytime that I feel my masculine, I need to know my masculine, I want to control this thing, I want to control the outcome, I want to do into this, I just remember that there's beauty in the unfolding, and I allow myself to sit and allow that unfolding to happen.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's the feminine.
Wow. You have said some powerful things.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. How will someone get started with just, if they're burnt out and they're just wanting to honor that feminine energy, it doesn't matter what gender, just how could they get started with, you know, doing something today?
No matter where anyone is at, one of the best practices to start with, especially if you're new to this work, but even if you've been doing this work for a while, is to take, you know, 30 seconds to just inhale and exhale and experience the way that inhale exhale feels in your body. Really feel your body working to breathe, like just feel that experience. Because that puts you in the moment. That quiets the mind immediately. It puts you in that body. It puts you right in the right here, right now. So if you're, you know, if you're consumed by your history, or if you're worried about your future, you know, if you're in between present, past, future, if you're in between there, this just simple inhale, exhale resets that and puts you right back in the moment. Even if you're panicking, even if you feel nothing, no matter where you're at, just taking that inhale, exhale gives you a little moment that we don't usually give ourselves in that feminine energy.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think breathing is definitely powerful.
It is. And like, you don't have to pay for that. You don't have to make time for that. You just have to take an intentional inhale and an intentional exhale. And that is the perfect starting place because it automatically resets you and it gives you a chance to somatically feel your body. So you're detaching from dissociation if you dissociate, or no matter where you're at, you just come back to your body for a second. And it gives you a chance to begin to notice the sensations, to begin to notice the thoughts.
Wow.
Just that little thing right there. And once you start doing that, you'll start to notice like, oh, I actually don't want to be here right now. Mm. Actually, I want this. Oh, I didn't realize I skipped two meals today. I noticed I'm hungry now. Let me do that. It just gives you that starting place.
Wow. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us before we wrap up the show about? It doesn't even have to be this, or it can be this. But do you feel like, I know you gave us a lot of knowledge today. It's been amazing. Is there anything else you feel like, oh no, they need to know this too?
Maybe. Yeah. Let me tune into that for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think going along with this and what I see out there and on like Instagram and other healing things, like we're in a really big upswing of everybody wanting to tell you what the right way to do this is.
Yes.
And especially for people who maybe you feel desperate to change, maybe you feel like you're at your wit's end, or maybe you're just starting this journey, but you feel okay. My best advice for anyone who's interested in the kind of work that we do is to instill the belief that you're your best judge of character. Mm-hmm. And to be aware of when you're starting to give your authority away.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That was actually something when I had coaches, and I was like, I had to really, because I was allowing them to tell me how I should live my life. And it's nothing, like, I love my coaches, but it didn't allow me to actually think for myself. Mm-hmm. It was like people who feel like they need to always Google, like, what should I say on a birthday card? It makes it so that you don't really know how to think for yourself when you're always allowing someone else to think for you. So I do think that's important to understand that you can instill that you are the best person that has the best judgment for yourself.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with coaches. I love coaches. But you also have to be able to discern for your own self.
Yeah, the discernment is such a big key. And to, like, I have coaches too, right? Good coaches have coaches. We'll just put that out there. And even my coaches are wrong about me sometimes. And my relationship with them allows me to say, actually, you're wrong about this right now. And then we have the relationship where they go, okay, why am I wrong? Like, let's have a discussion about it. And it's not me convincing them. It's not them trying to convince me. It's them going, okay, let me get updated. And then I'll give you my feedback too, because maybe you just aren't seeing it clearly. Because I don't always see myself clearly.
Yeah.
So, but it's having that authority in myself, but also having the openness of allowing critique in, but knowing that I can let it flow out if it's not needed, not taking it as stone. And this is something I tell all my clients, and I think it's so important for everyone to hear. I do not do the work for my clients, and my coaches don't do the work for me. So if you're with somebody, they're not doing anything for you. You are the one doing all of the work. You are the one that's changing. You are the one that's making your choices. So if you feel like you need somebody else in order to do the work that you feel called to do, it's not that we don't need people in our lives to help navigate us, but the people that are in our lives to navigate us are only navigating.
Yes.
They're only giving us suggestions and a perspective that we didn't have before. But that doesn't mean that they're doing anything for you.
Yes.
So that's, I think that's the difference between people getting caught up in this is my guru.
Yeah.
And this is someone helping me get to where I get to the best version of me that I want to be at.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Tim, can you tell everybody how to find you?
Yes. Okay. So I do a lot of things. I'll give out all the pieces. So I do have a website. As mentioned before, okay, I guess I'll just run through what I do.
Yes.
So I'm a voice actor and I am a yoga instructor and I also coach self-mastery and I coach people through voice acting. All of these things blend together. I call myself an energy worker. All of these different aspects involve energy work. It's just kind of makes me feel the most comfy when I'm trying to figure out how these pieces fit together because they seem vastly different. So I have a voice acting website. It's tiffbunch.com. You can email me there for anything. It doesn't have to be voice acting. And then I'm part of a collaboration of self-mastery people. It's called Creative Self-Mastery. And I believe that that's creativeselfmastery.com. Okay. So even if someone resonated with me, but maybe I'm not the right fit for them, we have so many other coaches that all, you know, we share the same language, but all of our perspectives are different within that boundary of language. And then we also have something called the Inner Circle. So people can come to that. We meet twice a month. We do coaching calls. We do media club where we read different books or watch different movies and talk about them through this idea of self-mastery. We bring in guest speakers. So it's a lot of fun. And then I'm also part of this other collaboration called the Voice Acting Institute. And that's where we coach voice acting. So if anyone's ever been interested or curious about voice acting, and we actually, half of us from Voice Acting Institute are also a part of Creative Self-Mastery. So we take the concepts of both and then mash them together. So it's art through the lens of self-mastery, which is what acting is, right? Acting is the telling of human stories.
Yeah.
And self-mastery is looking at human behavior. So it makes just total sense to put them both together. But I do one-on-one coaching. I do private yoga.
Yeah. It
all works out. So if anyone ever feels called to work with me on some capacity, I probably have it going on.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your knowledge and even offerings that you do. And if we want to, we can come work with Tiff. Tiff has inspired me to come work with her.
Yes. I'm so excited. I'm so glad we connected over this.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope that you found Tiff advice helpful and that you start your process of just even taking those breaths, those 30-second breaths, to start embracing and honoring that feminine energy. And if today's story inspired you, please leave a review and say how you enjoy the show. Also, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel so that you can catch the next episode. All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in. I love you guys. Bye.